Life Audio.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Billy and the Goat, the show dedicated to helping you overcome life's challenges, overcoming anxiety, overcoming adversity. My guest today, I am so excited to have a conversation with, is my cousin. She is Dr. Brenda Wall. She has served as a leader in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas mental health community for more than three decades. Throughout her career, she has maintained expertise in psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, higher education, and social justice. Dr. Wall has served as vice president at two HBCUs, has twice been department chair in psychology, and has been a staff pastor in counseling. She is a writer of addresses. She is a writer who addresses diverse issues of currency in American society. With degrees from Vassar College, Boston University, and George Washington University, she has consistently worked among the people in their churches, jails, schools, hospitals, and online, challenging their burdens, being inspired by their strength. Dr. Wall, a former Fulbright scholar, currently serves as grant director of Reclaiming Mental Health at Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and counselor at the Lovett School in Atlanta, Georgia. She is often consulted on issues of social equity and justice. This permits her to provide a range of creative interventions which challenge, inspire, and heal, and ultimately contribute to a fairer and more stable society. My cousin, Dr. Wall, welcome to the show.
Hello, Billy, the goat.
Hey.
My cousin, yes. That's how we roll, everybody. That's how we roll.
That's it.
But look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
That's it. Cousin, I'm so excited to have you here. My goodness gracious. Wow. Where do we start, right? You know, this is a faith basis. We're talking about faith.
Excellent.
Where did it begin for you? How did it start?
You know, I think where I'm aware that it started is when I was a little girl. I must have been between 3 and 5 years old, and I was parked in front of our house. My father left me in the car, ran inside. Wasn't like today, y'all. He left me. He ran inside to get something from the house to come back out. And at that moment, I heard a silence that I still remember. It captivated my attention. It was immobilizing, and it was like, oh my gosh, what is this? What does this mean? And I suppose that question is one that I have continued to ask in terms of my spiritual journey and my connection on a higher level. So from that point, I came from a family that loved the Lord. Your mother teases that when she came to visit, we would go around the table and everybody, what would we do? Everyone would say a prayer. Mm. I guess everyone would say a prayer, and then my father would end it by reading the scripture and saying a prayer. And she was going, oh gosh, what am I going to do? What are they going to do when they get to me? So that was always a part of my life. So as a little girl, I remember praying, and I just thought I said something like, dear Lord, thank you. And the Sunday school teacher was so impressed. And she said, you can tell a child who really prays. And I thought that was amazing. Anyway, so the little girl had an experience with the Lord, and the little girl was reinforced by church experiences. And the little girl continued to have the experiences from her church and from her family that allowed her to navigate a rough world, everybody.
Well, cousin, I'm glad you shared that, because I'd be willing to guess that a lot of people, you're a very powerful prayer. I marvel at you, at your prayers.
Thank you.
So it started when you were 5 years old. No wonder you.
Yeah, I had to be real little because I wasn't yet in the kindergarten class with Miss Jennings. I was in the other class, and they said, "Oh, you can tell that she." So yeah. Praying, because we did have to pray. And my prayer, this was my prayer as a little girl. My prayer was, "Lord, have mercy on me." I said, "Oh my God." So when you go back and look at that, and then if you look, everybody who's listening, when I get through the day, I must say, "Lord, have mercy." And it's a different "Lord, have mercy." But that was my prayer. I think that's the 51st Psalm too. And it was a while before I realized that the miserere, I think is what they called it.
Wow.
That the prayer of God having mercy. And so I've expanded, everybody, from mercy to grace. You know, how about some grace?
Amen. Amen. Well, I need to find out. You give some tips on my praying, because your prayers are just amazing. And there's a reason that my mother does, you know, has you pray during Bible study and so frequently.
Well, I love to pray. I love to pray. However, the powerful prayers, I think, And you know, when people say, kids say, "Teach me how to pray." Well, God just wants to hear from you. He's not interested in eloquence. He's interested in authenticity.
Amen.
He's interested in love and that connection and wanting to draw closer. So there is a place perhaps for the beautiful prayers. There's a place for that. Just like there's a place for the beautiful creation that we have. But God's not looking for a PhD in prayer. Unless it's praising him daily.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. So regarding stress and instances and trials and tribulations, how did you deal with it? How did you handle that as a little girl? And not just a little girl, but, you know, growing up, teenager, school, how did you handle stress?
I was marvelously protected. As a child, I was not aware of how protected I was. I was always supervised. It didn't seem that way to me because it seemed that I had a lot of freedom. But somehow my parents had it so that there was always either a mother, father, brother, or grandparent, or someone close. I was always supervised. So I had a very safe life. And I had a very... I grew up during segregation, everybody. So during that time when there was so much turmoil in the world, I would say my parents did a pretty good job of protecting me from the evils that surrounded us and kept us safe. So even though it was high stress for them, I don't think I really encountered it directly until I was emerging from high school. They put me in summer programs. I went to summer school every year. I was academic. I was someone who was very academic, and I loved that. Mm-hmm. So I was always in summer school. I was always in some structured programming. It was safe. I don't think the stress in my life really kicked in until I left my beautiful, safe, loving, segregated life. Lord, have mercy. And went to Vassar College. I think that was the culture shock, and that was the awakening. All of our teachers prepared us to go through those doors when the doors open. But, oh boy, that was difficult for the women who were at Vassar. And it was eye-opening for me.
No longer protected.
I think my teachers, and I know my parents, felt like I had enough in me to be able to figure it out. Because I was crying. I said, "I don't want to go. Mama, please let me go to Virginia Union. Please take me home. Let me go to Virginia Union." And my brother said, "You're just here to get your studies. Don't even worry about it." Because I was spoiled, everybody. Remember how protected I was? Mm-hmm. I was very spoiled. "Please, oh, please, Mama, please."
That sounds like me when I didn't want to go to Landon. When I would go from public to
younger.
Yeah.
You were young. I was a little, but what kind of mother did I have who heard this crying child? And they could have easily allowed me to go to one of the historically Black colleges, but hey, they meant I was going to stick it out. And it was hard. It was very hard.
Absolutely.
So how did I navigate that? Mm-hmm. We went to chapel every Sunday. I had a best friend who also loved the Lord. Every Sunday we would dredge up the hill, go up that hill when it was freezing. Our knees would be, we loved the Lord. So how did I make it? God.
Amen.
God. And I was a kind of a God person that, so certainly we went to chapel because that was a place where we could listen to beautiful music mm-hmm. and hear a word. Mm-hmm. But I did pray, and I know when I was in high school, I used to read the Bible every night. So that's a part of my life. People on the outside wouldn't have known that. They wouldn't have considered me particularly religious, but it was certainly a part of my foundation.
So was your friend in at Vassar your kind of your go-to? If you had some stuff going on, you of course you'd pray. Of course you go to chapel, but that would be your—
Hey, we didn't like you. I tell everybody, I said, y'all, we didn't like each other, but we were Black. We were from the segregated South. On our first day, our parents kind of threw us together. We were in the same dormitory, and it was hard for us. I mean, we had to encounter racism in a way that was new for us. She had a very hard time. I had a very hard time. She's my best friend, everybody. I love her. I love her dearly. She's my best friend. She is, and I'm proud of her. She is a world-renowned, Harvard-trained doctor who is outstanding in her field.
How about that?
And she gave an address recently. This is God in her life. She gave an address recently. She's over some prominent organization of other physicians, and she was the president, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. She's the Black president. That's a big deal. She's a Black woman president. Very super duper big deal. And she allowed us to come and to witness her address,
which
was a blessing. But wait. And what she did in her address, she said, y'all don't know me. And she told the story of what it's like to be a little Black girl in her world and to grow up with everybody not wanting you to make it. They did not want that woman to apply to Harvard. They did not want her to get into Harvard. They didn't, and when she got into Harvard, they didn't want her to finish in many ways. So all of us had parallel paths of always meeting resistance. And we both would say it was the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now you smile really, really big about your best friend and her accomplishments.
I love her.
Now let's make you smile. Yeah. Let's make you smile bigger. Let's talk about David. His son David, you know, I had him on the show a couple months ago.
Yeah. Yes, he told me. Mm-hmm. He told me, thank you. Mm-hmm. David is. I live in Atlanta. He lives in Atlanta now. So right now, I see him quite often. I see him often. Mm-hmm. I love him. He was a beautiful little baby. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like to be a beautiful baby. Would mean nothing to you. and he's been a great blessing. So I remember somebody once said that he was my best friend. He is not my best friend. He is my son. I love him. Yeah. He is the joy of my life. It is an honor to be his mother. Your mother would be a best friend, but not my best friend would be a mm-hmm. But he was my son and a great son who married a great woman whom I love dearly and who had great kids. I mean, God has just blessed
Amen.
Me.
And you got two grandsons?
Yes, they're awesome.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's interesting, you know, I think I love being a parent. You know, I mean, you know, I love being William's dad, father. But it's interesting you said that is that I think a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of situations where parents forget, and even the siblings, the children forget, we're not best friends. We're not friends. I'm the parent. And then it has murky waters.
You can be a great parent because your child needs to be guided. Mm-hmm. And the word tells us all of that. The child needs to be guided, even as an adult. But you can have so much joy in the Lord with your family. And I think sometimes I hear so many people, oh, the terrible twos. Oh, adolescence is going to be horrible. Oh, when they leave and go to college, it's going to be the emptiness is going to be terrible. God fixes it so that it gets better and better and better. And I tell people that. I said, oh, it gets better. Oh, what do you mean it gets better? Oh, it gets better.
Wow, that's fantastic. Wow, Brenda, you've done a lot in your life. You've done a lot in the ministry. Do you have a part that you're most fondest of your profession, as far as, you know, what you do, where you've gone, different cities?
I love being a mother of a baby child and a little boy. Oh my gosh, that was just great, great, great discovery. Mm-hmm. In terms of work, I loved the counseling. So as a young PhD doctoral candidate, mm-hmm. I was good at the counseling therapy, psychotherapy. I thought it was because I was so smart, and I thought it was because I told you I was always academic. So I thought it was that. Mm-hmm. It was not. It was an anointing that came from a different place. I can't even take credit for it. So now I am wise enough to know you can't be smart enough to impact lives. It has been an honor and a privilege to sit with people in their brokenness and to be with them as they transform and come through on the other side. So certainly there have been moments and I love it still when I know that this person who feels like they're at the end of their rope, this person who is suicidal, mm-hmm. this person who feels like there is no hope, even a person of God, it's very nice to know that they are going to, because of the decisions that they've mm-hmm. made, they're going to come out on the other side, and it's my privilege to help them get through that. So that's been very lovely. And where I've done that at, as you've said, I've done that in different settings. I think I find the counseling therapy very rewarding. And I also like the teaching part too. So I like to teach.
I can. Yes, you do. Yes, like you do. You can tell.
And everybody, what you can't tell is that it's always, this is because I grew up in segregation. Because of what I have lived in this world, my work is anchored around empowering people, particularly people of African descent, mm-hmm. and helping them to understand their situations and their power.
Amen. Amen. You can, you know, you have a very powerful presence and extremely articulate. So you draw me in every time you speak. I'm glued to TV. When you're talking about your patients, your clients, counseling, I'm sure you've heard and you've dealt with and helped people get through some heavy stuff. Does it wear on you?
No. If it were to wear on me, then I'm not aligned properly. I'm not aligned with God, Holy Spirit. I'm not aligned. Mm. So that's one way of looking at alignment. Mm. Or I'm stepping outside of my skill area. So there's some people I don't see. Mm. I don't see very violent people who are likely to hurt others, which means they would hurt me if they could get the chance. There's certain people that I have to be safe in order to do the kind of work that I do. So there are certain people that I would not be as effective with. But working with people, and you could be just as troubled. You could be, so certainly I've worked with people who have murdered. I've worked with people who have raped, if you will. Mm-hmm. I have worked with those people. I've worked with young people, old people. I've worked with people who've been raped. I've worked with people who have struggled with murder in their families. Does it wear? No. Because you know that you connect with their strength. And I think when we see tragic situations, we tend to connect with a tragedy. We tend to connect with the pain and the fear. Mm-hmm. So that means that people think, well, I know you're going to be worn out by it. If you can connect with that strength, that allows you to mobilize yourself and the other person through the situation.
Wow. Now, is that how you were taught? Or is that something that you really focused on?
I had great training. Mm-hmm. So remember, I said I was academic. Mm-hmm. I went to great schools. You read them off. I've had great experiences. I am well trained. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to do a piece of work. But I would say that the far greater blessing has come from life experiences and the people that have trusted me to walk with them through their identifiable concerns. So you grow through this. The work that I do today, I couldn't have done when I was just starting out, even though I was good then. Mm-hmm. I worked with what I had then, but I couldn't have done. So you can walk in my office now and I can pretty much sit with you in a few minutes and go, okay, this is where we're headed. Somebody might say, oh, she's a quack. How could you do that in such a short, but if you've done it over a right. period of time, and if you have that connection, you can look at where the person is and where they need to go. I could not have done that. When I was, how old was I? Got my degree when I was 27. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done that easily in my early 30s.
Do you counsel you?
No, in the way that you're thinking, not in the way that you're thinking. I think I'm available for growth. Mm-hmm. And what I will do, because I got great people in my mm-hmm. life. I called somebody last night. I said, hey, look, I got something I want to address. This is what I want to work on. This is how I want to work on it. We're going to work on it from now until my birthday. So that might be a form of counseling, mm-hmm. a form of prayer, mm-hmm. a form of a solidifying strength so that you can become more and more authentic with your relationship with where you are.
Absolutely. I think, yes. Can you know, you're very wise. You've been doing it for a long time, but sometimes it might be helpful to have a different perspective, someone from the outside looking in, you know? Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. Anyway. Wow, Brenda.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I marvel at what you've done, what you do. Your humility, I think, is huge. Have you attained the goals that you may have had growing up?
Well, I guess the first goal I would have had was to finish college. Mm-hmm. I went to a prestige college and I got through it. My pleasure in learning was Boston University. I got a degree in African American studies. Mm. Oh my gosh, all we did was read and write. Oh my gosh, I read everything. Oh, that was just nothing but heaven. I just read everybody. So at that point, they didn't have as much material available as we got so much material now that's available. Mm. But it was a good moment in time. So what about the goals? I had a practice. That was a goal. And then when I reached 50, so everybody, I'm over 50. Well, you can figure that out if I grew up during segregation. But when I reached 50, I said, I've completed a piece of work. And it was very good work. And I didn't have a great concept of time, I thought. And now I can embark upon the spiritual. And I guess that's been a focus that I have. And again, but it was grace. I mean, God clearly has directed me and guided me. So have I reached goals? I would say that I often say, man, I've got a good life. Boy, I have a great life. I say that frequently. Mm-hmm. And one of my colleagues said to me, should I say this to all these folk who might be listening? One of my colleagues said, Brenda, you always say that when you're eating. I said, oh, I have a great boy, I have a good life. Boy, my life is great. I guess so. I think I'm pretty content.
You're an avid reader. What made the most impression on you? Is there one that sticks out?
Well, remember when I was a young person, so this would be my foundation. Mm-hmm. My foundation would be, let's see if I can you see me still?
I can see you.
Okay, good, because I lost you and don't have to do that. So my foundation was just reading all the Black scholars. So, and remember, well, I don't know if you would remember, when I was coming of age, at Vassar, at Boston University, that's when the Black intellects were really emerging. Mm-hmm. So you had James Cone, who was starting to write, mm-hmm. and you had the thinking that was emerging around Black intelligentsia, and you had Afrocentric thinking. So that was beginning to emerge. And I think that that was an era that defined me and allowed me to continue to do some reading. Now, the reading that I've done around God and growing occurred later. That occurred at a later moment. Would I say they're great? You know what? I'm looking over there. What books do I like? The book by my cousin is the one that I have so that I can always look at. Michaela by Randall mm-hmm. Robinson. I love that book. But there are a lot of books that I love. I love the books by Black scholars very much. Mm-hmm. Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, The Water Dancer, that was a great book. So lots of great books. But if you ask me on any day, I would give you a different list of books.
You're well-read.
I don't know how well-read I am, but I do love ideas.
Very humble. I like that. Is there anything that you have not done in the ministry or professionally that you really would like to do?
Yes.
What is
yes.
that?
Oh, I think it's not fully defined, but I have a cousin, Clyde Casey, who says you want to end well. You want to finish this thing well. And I love that. I said, yes, I want to make sure that I do that. I would like to make sure that the work that I do makes a difference in the world. I think that I would be so honored. And sometimes I am, because as I've told you how I've been blessed, but every now and then the blessing will come full circle where somebody will say, you really did make a difference in my life. And that's joy.
You've already done that numerous times. I know. You probably get that all the time.
That's joy. That's joy when somebody says, now, you know, what's funny, women, young, beautiful women who have adolescents mm-hmm. will come up to me and they will say that. I think this is so funny. They will come up and say, do you remember me? And I say, well, you know, help me out some. Don't just leave me
who
here.
Are you?
And they will tell me, you helped me. And I said, wait a minute. Weren't you the age of this kid of yours Yeah, they do think I remember, right. And I do remember them. But yeah, you made a difference in my life. That's just the honor. That's their honor.
I mean, that's why we're here, to serve. And you do it well.
It's a blessing to be able to do that. So I thank God for where I am.
Amen.
At this moment in history.
You know, I have to talk about this.
What?
Your relationship with my mama. Y'all like sisters.
I see her picture above you. That picture of your mother.
Goodness.
I think she was five. How old was she in that picture? Do you know?
I stole that. Don't tell her. I don't know how old she was.
Well, then that's the picture. That was the picture that was on our grandmother's bureau all during my childhood. She had that picture of Jeannie in her sun suit. And that was what I saw. Your mother, I was telling somebody about this recently. Your mother was a little older than I am, just a little,
still is.
But she was far wiser. I was telling my grandson about her. I said, you know, she always had more sense than I did. She always did. She was an avid lover of sport because her father was a coach. I was telling him that today. I said, so she followed the game. It came up because she loves the U.S. Open. My grandson just came from the U.S. I said, you know, she goes every year. I said, and she keeps up. I said, she knows about basketball. And but I said, her father was a sport. I said, so she would come, and even as a teenager, she would know all about that. And she would talk about the game, and I would just go, la, la, la. Because I only went to have fun, to get something to eat, to see who was there, to be.
You're socializing.
They were there for the game, and it was so. How is that still? She continues to be a woman who has always been advanced in maturity, in wisdom, and she is generous. She's always been generous.
She is.
So when you were a little boy, she was a great cook too, everybody. So her hash browns, and she was always willing to do it. So when you were very little, I knew you when you were very little, how she adored you. But she allowed me to be a part of that and to be with her way back when you were with your Aunt Jewel way back then. That's when we became real friends. And it continued from then.
A long time ago.
Yep, it was.
Please share some nuggets of wisdom for our guests that they may benefit from.
So part of what you want to remember, all these things that we say are trite, and God is good. You want to remember God is good all the time. All the time God is good. So you already know that. But if you allow something, there's going to be one of those verses, one of those sayings that you might want to just seep into your spirit, because that may be where you are at the moment. So right now, one of my favorite verses is, remember Lot's wife. Says, why would you? One of the shortest verses, Jesus said it. Jesus said, you know, the guys always say Jesus wept. That's the one that they quote. Mm. But that's three words. Remember Lot's wife. And right now, I like to unpack. As much as you've heard me talk about my past, that you don't look back so much as you look forward. Mm. And that God, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what mistake you've made. I don't think what, no matter what glory you have accomplished, no matter the what, that God has more in front of you. And if you allow your will, your way to be anchored in God, if you allow what happens when those steps are ordered in the Lord, if you spend enough time in that spiritual place where you and God are alone and connected, it will shock you as to, oh my gosh, isn't this amazing how it turned out? God will amaze you. So allow yourself to be amazed. Allow yourself to walk in amazement and discover what God has in store for you.
Amen. Thank you, cousin. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, cousin.
I love you.
Thank you. I love
you. God bless you.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Allow me to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much, much more.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.